It is a pleasure to be here, and it's warming up in here, right?
Yeah.
It is a pleasure to be here. I really did appreciate meeting Grant, and like you said, we were just sitting together at a table down there in Brazil. Beautiful setting, lit river out there, and just all this, and he starts asking me about prophecy and prophets and so on, and so I was just explaining a few things to him, and next thing I know, he says, well, what about me? Can you prophesy to me right now? Well,
I had my phone out. I was like, ready?
He did. And so I just, well, Lord, in Jesus' name, and the Lord began to give me a word for him and his wife and kids, and it was just awesome, just tremendous. And I just really appreciated the Lord for that. But this is my wife, Nancy. She was not able to be with us in Brazil. But and it's interesting.
But I made him go.
But anyway, I'll just. She has a short word she wants to share with you, so I'll just let her go ahead.
It is a blessing to be with all of you today, and I can tell you, I don't even have to prophesy to you. This place is going to grow.
Yes.
Because church hadn't started, of course. They were just kind of practicing when I walked through those doors, but I felt the presence of God. It's like, whoa. Because you don't feel that in a lot of churches. You guys are just so blessed. I hope you know that. Yeah. You are really blessed. The praise and worship was just amazing this morning. And I did just exactly what Grant said. I just soaked it in, and I just opened my heart to God and started crying. I probably messed up my makeup, but I just bless you and just keep that fire and that burning, you know, before the Lord in praise and worship, because that really will make such a difference in your life and a difference when you gather together. And I just have a little short word. Again, when I walked in, the Lord said, remember what you heard the other day? I said, okay, Lord. I have a friend in California, and she belongs to a big church out there. I forget even the guy's name now. It's not Bill Johnson. It's another one. But anyway, they were having a gathering of all of the men, okay? And this guy evidently was a biker. And I don't know if they have their own Bible or what it is, but I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But he was reading Luke 21:31. And this is where Jesus is ministering about the kingdom of God. He said, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Okay? But he said, in my Bible, this was the biker guy, okay? He says, the kingdom of God is coming with full throttle. Oh, that is so cool. So my husband and I spent the day trying to find it, you know, calling other people. Where does it say this? I told him finally, no, the bikers just must have their own translation. That's the only thing I could figure out, because we couldn't find it anyway. But it's so awesome. The kingdom of God is coming in full throttle. Amen. And that is the day that we're living in, folks.
Amen.
It really is. I know all my life they've said that, but you've got to admit, things have never been as bad as they are right now. So, I just want to encourage you with that, you know, to enter into that and know that it is a, what can I say, an exciting thing. It's something that is just going to be amazing. It may be very persecuting, but that's okay. I have a preacher friend in Texas, and he says, you know what? He says, I don't want you to worry about the persecution thing. They can only kill you once. That's it. Presence of God. So what's the deal, you know?
This body is present with the Lord.
Absolutely. So it's a new day, and it's time for a new visitation. Okay? We're starting a new year, and it's time for a new visitation from the Lord. And in that visitation, whenever the Lord comes, there is a refreshing. In every area of our lives, in our church, in our homes, there's a refreshing that comes. And it will take us into a new level with God. Okay, that's what we're pressing into. That's what we have been pressing into for quite a while at home. And that level is opening up. It really is. And I just thank the Lord for that. And then one other thing I wanted to share that, and because that's what's going to happen today, if I find it. I know I marked it. I can't find it with one hand. It's so good, I'm going to take my time to find it, I'm telling you. Because Randy Clark was talking about impartation. He was ministering on impartation. And a lot of people maybe don't understand what that means, but you're going to find out this morning. But it moves us from addition to multiplication. Okay? In other words, you give yourself, you receive impartation, and then you can impart to someone else. And that what you receive will multiply, okay? Because you're going to give it to other people. And that's one way, another way that this church is going to grow, because we're going to receive and impart it to other people. And you can't have a move of God. And I hope you don't disagree with me, Grant. But you absolutely, I do not believe that we can have a move of God, a real move of God, and stay in control.
Amen.
And what's going on in the service. You cannot. You, even in your own life, don't try to control it. Just give it to God, okay?
Yeah.
And that's the definition of a move of God. God takes over.
Yeah.
And that's what we want, okay? We want Him to take over in our lives and lead us. Be in control, Lord. I just, like that song a long time ago, Lord, I just give You the wheel. You know, You take the wheel of my life, Lord, because I'm tired of doing it myself. That's where I am. I don't want to do it myself because He does such a better job than I do. So I just bless You this morning, and it is
Amen.
So wonderful to be here
Amen.
With you.
Thank you. Woo!
Amen. I want to share several things with you. First of all, we're from Springfield, and we were a part of the Awakened to Destiny conference there. And I had printed this message to send out. I have a mailing list, and I printed this message to send it out entitled, Who Are You? And then we got into the conference before I had a chance to even mail it out. And Mark Sharona preached on Who Are You? I go, wow. And of course, Mark Sharona, being Mark Sharona, he added a bunch of things to it, but I thought, you know, there's some confirmation God is speaking this.
Sorry.
And I have a few copies of it. If anybody wants one, you can have it. And then also, I just put in the mail, I think I got it here somewhere, Mark chapter 13. In fact, I was going to do this later, but go there now. Mark chapter 13, and it starts out that as they're leaving the temple, the disciples begin asking him, asking Jesus about the end times. What's going to happen? When's it going to happen? And so on. And then throughout Mark 13, Jesus is explaining things about the end times. And then he comes down to verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So we don't know. And I tell people, if somebody tells you, I know what it's going to, ignore them.
That's right.
Okay? Don't know. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. But look at what happens next. There's some people that would look at this as being a parable, but this is not a parable. He says, verse 33 again, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore. Okay? I just stop right there. I could go on, but I just stop right there. This is not a parable. Jesus is talking to the disciples and saying to them, it's like a man, and he's really referring to himself, I'm about to go on a far journey. This is just before he goes to the cross. He says, I'm about to go on a far journey, but I want you to understand, I'm leaving my house. Who's the house? We are the house of God.
Right.
All right? And then he goes on and he says, gave authority to his servants. Are you one of his servants?
That's right. Yep.
Then do you understand that you have authority?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's right.
You have authority. See, a lot of times we just think, oh, well, you know, in fact, we were just singing a song, and it's really interesting to me because God gave me a real quick insight into some things here, and God spoke to me and said that there's some in this room here that are struggling with a relationship with the Lord, and then we began singing that last song, mm-hmm. Mountain to Valley and so on. And there are some in here that are struggling. I don't know any of you, but, I mean, met Grant in Brazil, and we were here with them last night and had a great time. But I mean, you know, I don't really know hardly anybody. But God says there's some of you that are struggling with your relationship with the Lord. And you're struggling with what is the gift of God that you have. And here in this verse, he says he left his house. He gave authority to his servants and to each his work. Hmm. One of the problems that I see in the church world today is that the church has gotten to the place where they expect the pastor and the leaders of the church to do everything.
Yeah.
We were in a church a number of years ago where the pastor led the singing, the pastor prayed over the offering, the pastor did the ministry, the pastor prayed. I mean, the pastor did everything except collect the offering. And it was just, I'm sitting there just, wow. Oh, well, he didn't play the music instruments, but he did everything else. He did everything else, okay? And I'm thinking, where's the rest of the people?
Right.
What happens if this pastor gets sick? And it was a big church. He gave authority and to each his work. You have a job. You have a gift of God. You have something from God that God has specifically called you to do. He specifically called you to become a part of. And he's not just giving you a job. He's giving you the authority to do the job. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you had a job. You got in this job and they come to you and they say, we want you to do this. But they don't give you any authority to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was hired as a supervisor of a janitorial crew one time, and I was working there and so on, and was having problems with this one young man who his idea was he was supposed to be the supervisor, you know. Anyway, I talked to the boss about it and basically ended up telling the kid he was fired. He says, you can't fire me. I said, yeah, I can.
That's right.
Come on, in the truck, let's go. We went back to the office, and the boss knew that what was going to go on, because we talked, and the boss just really straightened him out. This is the supervisor. This is you listen to him, or you don't have a job. He gave me authority.
Right.
Up until that time, this young man didn't think I had any authority at all. But I began to have some authority to do something. But if you have a job and you don't have any authority to do anything, you're just a cog in a wheel. Just nothing. Well, in fact, not even that. But he gave you a job. He gave you a position. He gave you something to do, but he also gave you authority to do it. And then he gave the doorkeeper, or in other words, the Holy Spirit, to watch over. It's the Holy Spirit that works through you. But how many of you understand that unless you step out to begin to do something, the Holy Spirit doesn't do it?
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Good.
Hello.
That's good.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, Brother Roy, you know, when you're a prophet, you can, well, yeah. But if I was down in Brazil and he put that phone in my face and said, okay, prophesy to me, if I didn't open my mouth, guess what?
That's right.
That's right.
I'll give you a better story. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about prophecy here in a little bit, because that's what Grant asked me to do. And I'm going to do that in just a few minutes. But last May, we were in France. And in, what was it, August of the year of 2013... We had decided, had started making plans to go to France and so on. And then sometime around January, February, our friend who is a missionary to France from our church, been there for 36 years, and he sent me an email. He was the one making up all the itinerary and everything and setting up all, everything. Anyway, he sends me this email. He says, Roy, he said, I just talked with the head guy of the Assemblies of God in France, the number one guy. And I told him that you were coming and that you have a prophetic word for him. Is that all right? So I just, God, what are you doing? So I just sent him an email back. I said, whatever God wants is fine. Well, from February until May, I'm, God, you know, it'd be nice if you'd give me something. You know? God, what do you want to say to Brother Daniel? That's his name. Daniel Poitier. Daniel Poitier. What do you want to say? And from February until May, we're over in France, minister in several places in France. We get up into Lille, France, which is on the border of France and Belgium. And minister there on Sunday morning. And then Monday afternoon, John and I, we go to meet Danielle. And we get in there and we start to sit down in this conference room. It's just John and me and Daniel and another brother. And I can't remember his name. He was an Arab who was saved and had a ministry to Arabs. But at any rate, so we're sitting there. And they're talking in French. I know nothing. The only word I know in French is oui. That's it. And so they're talking in France, and I'm sitting here. God, please, give me something. Give me something. And John turns and he looks at me and says, Roy, it's all yours. So I look at Danielle, and I said, Daniel, when we began to pray, I began to just go back to what had happened, of how God began to orchestrate to telling us time to come, and that God, what God wanted to do. And as I began to explain those things to him, all of a sudden, the word of the Lord began to come, and I gave him a word of the Lord that confirmed a vision that he had received 1 or 2 months before and had told absolutely nobody but his wife. And the Sunday, the day before, he had announced to his church about that new vision. But we weren't there. We were in another church. I had no idea. But I began to give to him. What happened? I just began to just give myself to the Lord, and he began to move. If you don't give yourself to the Lord, you will never fulfill the call of God on your life.
Yeah.
Come on.
You have to present yourself. You have to open your mouth at times. You have to put your feet to action. You have to begin to step out. I wasn't expecting to preach all this, but I just really feel this is from God, okay?
Yeah.
And you have, well, brother, I just want to prophesy. Then you've got to open your mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Yeah. All right? Well, I'm going to quit on that. Because I wrote on it. And it's right here. In fact, you should be getting a copy of it in the mail. If you haven't already, you'll be getting it. I just sent it out Thursday. So, but I've got a few copies of that. And if anybody wants it, I've entitled it A Man on a Journey. And it's about how. And in reality, I look at it as being part two of who are you. When you begin to know who you are in God, and then you begin to understand that he's given to you a job to do.
Yeah.
He's, can I just be plain?
Yeah.
Okay? Don't have to use big flowery words or anything, right? Just he gave you a job to do.
Yeah.
But not just the job, he's given you the authority to do it.
That's so good.
And then he brought the Holy Spirit to watch over. He helps you to do it. And he watches to make sure you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Right.
I'm smiling. I wish a few of you would. Amen.
Amen.
All right. But yeah. And I've got a few more in the car if you want it. Oh, by the way, I do have a gift for you. I told you about it last night. all of my notes, 12 pages of outline on prophecy, and this morning I did find what I think is a typographical error. I kind of marked it out there. There could be a few more. I taught myself how to type, so you know, not that great of a typist. Let me just start here with this, though. Some people wonder about prophecy, and I sat down one time with a group of Baptists who were there. And the leader of the group had asked me to come in and talk about gifts of the Spirit and so on. So I'd gone in, and they were struggling with tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and so on. And I knew this was going to come up. They finally came up with the idea, with the scripture where it says, well, when that which is perfect is come, when that which is in part is done away. We prophesy in part, we speak in part, and so on. And all those things are going to be done away, right? I said, that's right. Oh, what's that which is perfect?
Yeah. That's
right. And of course, and I'm not trying to be critical of the Baptists, okay? I'm really not. But their idea was, well, that which is perfect was the King James Version because it's the authorized version. And I said to them, authorized by whom? An ungodly king who died before it was done. And I began to just say, you know, if you really want going to go to the Word of God as being perfect, then you're going to have to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek, mm-hmm. not the English. Because
yeah.
the English is just a translation. So that which is perfect, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Bible is, okay, very, very important, all right? You'll hear that again in a few moments, but very, very important, and we've got to know the Word of God, all right? So I'm not belittling the Bible, but that isn't what Paul's talking about. In 1 Corinthians.
That's right.
Okay? What he's talking about is that which is perfect as the Lord himself begins to come. He returns. That's the only thing that's perfect. Okay? And so, but I want you to understand, I say that to make this point. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all of these different gifts of the Spirit, God still has an operation today. He still wants us to know that they are still valid for us today. Okay? And I can give you scriptures for that, such as 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, 11, 1 Corinthians 14, 5, and other scriptures. Okay? He's got a copy of my notes, so you guys can go over some of those things later if he so desires, or you so desire. But there is valid proof in the Word of God that he has not stopped those ministries. And some of you have those ministries. In fact, the Lord has just spoken to me that one or two of you have a ministry inside of you that is I'm going to put it this way, a vocal ministry that you're just kind of holding back from. And God wants you to begin to recognize he has a call on your life, and until you begin to give of yourself to that call, you're not going to find the peace and the joy and the satisfaction in God that you're looking for. There's always going to be that struggle inside of you until you begin to give yourself to that. Okay? So, I am going to jump to about, I think it's page 4 in my notes, because here's where I feel like God has really spoken. There are certain aspects that are important for you if you wish to prophesy. Certain things that are very, very important. Number one is the Word of God. You've got to be a person of the Word.
Amen.
I have heard men, now not lately, but years ago, we heard a guy who came to our church and began preaching. He says, and he had a Bible with black leather, you know, and he says, these black lids of death. I was, oh, no, 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 no. You've got to be a person of the Word of God.
Right.
It's so important. Amen. And I'm going to jump way ahead of myself because I don't think I'm going to get there anyway. But how else are you going to know that what you're saying is from God or not?
Yeah.
Right.
One of the ways to know what you have just heard, what you just received is from God is it backed up by the Word of God?
Exactly.
If it's contrary to the Word of God, ignore it. Just ignore it, okay? It won't hurt you. Hello?
That's good.
Right. It won't hurt you. Okay? All right. Another important aspect is there should be a life of intercession. Prayer. Intercession. Praying about where you're going, who you're speaking to, what God has given to you. Okay? It's very important that you be a man or woman of prayer, that you begin to really intercede in the things of God. The next one is a lifestyle of praise and worship. Listen, if you can't enter into praise and worship, if there isn't, and I don't mean just at church time. There, while we were at service here, or in praise and worship here this morning, there were some of the songs, like Grant had said, some of the songs I entered into, I began to sing. Others, I just began to just enjoy the presence and just saying, oh God, you're speaking to my heart. And if you can't have an attitude of praise and worship outside. Hello.
It's good.
Right.
See, you have one in here, but you've got to have one up there too. And an attitude of praise and worship in your home, where you go shopping, where you go to work, and so on and so forth. Amen? We were in this service, we were out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and started a church out there, and we went to another church to visit. They were having a special speaker in it. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of had to repent a little bit later, because it just irritated me that I saw the guest speaker, he and his entourage came in and got back into this back little room and all that while we're worshiping the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you know, they announce and he comes out, yeah, man, and oh, that irritated me. If you can't be involved in the praise and worship, I'm not really interested in what you have to say, to be honest with you. There's got to be a lifestyle of praise and worship, especially if you're going to prophesy, if you're going to be used of God to speak the word of the Lord to people, there should be an anointing or a desire inside of you to worship Him. It was interesting to me, and I almost said this when I introduced my wife, but it was interesting to me that for a couple of weeks, my wife would say to me, well, are you preparing? Do you have some sermons yet for where we're going? Are you? And honey, just relax. I'm not there yet. And I got some things to say, but I want to know what God is saying when I get into the service. So guess what happened? We got here this morning, and they were still just worshiping the Lord and practicing all that. And my wife sits down, and God begins speaking to her. And
there you go.
She had nothing until we got here. And if you can't be a part, and there isn't an attitude of praise and worship inside of you, how are you going to really hear from the King of Kings?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In fact, where was it? Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord gave this to Nancy just the other day. And she shared it with me. In Isaiah chapter 6, it's where Isaiah is saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Which, by the way, his train is his glory. That's what comes after him. It's his glory. Just like a wedding gown, you know, the train that follows behind. It's the glory that comes behind. And it goes on and it talks about the seraphims. And then there was a note in her Bible that said the seraphims are that angelic being that is constantly around the throne just praising and worshiping. And that's all they do is just praise and worship. And she said, you know, when we really begin to enter into praise and worship, do we then become like one of the seraphims? Oh, if we can't enter into praise and worship, you're going to struggle with the ministry of God. You're going to struggle with the gift of God that He's given you. There's got to be that attitude. And then one more thing real quick. There's got to be a commitment to a local body. Hello.
Amen.
Got to be a commitment to a local body. So, well, what about you, Brother Roy? You're here. Yeah, but I'm committed to a local body in Springfield, Missouri.
Right.
Amen. And not only that, and this is another little aspect, a subset of that, there's got to be an attitude of authority, where you are submitted to authority. Now, in my local body, I'm one of the elders. I'm also called one of the associate pastor in the church back there. But I am submitted to the other leaders.
Right.
If there is not an attitude of submission and an attitude of being committed one to another, I don't care what words you have.
Yep.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't care what ministry you say you have. There has got to be a commitment to a local body of Christ, to where someone, where there's somebody that if you get out of line, somebody that you will submit to that can bring correction to you.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, these things are vital. They really, really are. God wants you and me to understand you have a job, you have something, and you may never be up on the platform, you may never speak prophetically, you may never stand and prophesy or speak in tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you may never do that, but at the same time, you may go to work someday, and a co-worker is struggling, and you begin walking up to him, and, hey, let me tell you, God, and next thing you know, you're beginning to speak something to them that encourages them and begins to help them, edifies them. And brothers and sisters, that is the spirit of prophecy. That is the gift of God, that He is moving through you and encouraging others. Amen. It's very important that we begin to understand these things. What time are you usually done? By noon. I'm in trouble.
12:10.
Folks, I told you I'm not going to go through all 12 pages. Amen. Let me go. Let me jump down to some practical application. And that is to encourage to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I would that you all might prophesy. I would that you all might prophesy. And there are basically three realms of prophecy, okay? There's the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the office of a prophet. And just because someone prophesies does not make them a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
It does not. A spirit of prophecy, typically, someone will have a spirit of prophecy when they're in a service. They might prophesy when they're in a service and there's a strong prophet in the midst. Or the praise and worship really gets high and the presence of God really comes. Or they begin to just stand and give a testimony. Revelation chapter 19 or 20, something like that. It says, for the spirit of the testimony of the Lord is a spirit of prophecy. And you begin to give a testimony. And the next thing you know, as you're giving that testimony, Randy Clark and Tom Jones and even Bill Johnson speak about that a lot. Where you begin to just give a testimony. Bill Johnson in particular, you give a testimony. Psalm 78 is a tremendous scripture for that. And you begin to give a testimony, and next thing you know, people are beginning to receive the same thing. Things are beginning to happen in their life. Amen? It's so important. But then there's the gift of prophecy, that God will give some people a gift of prophecy, and they can begin to prophesy in the midst of the church, whether there's a prophet there or not. Okay? And they begin to prophesy various things. And I just, the Lord is showing me that there's at least two in this room right here that have that gift of prophecy. Now let me give you a warning. You will not always prophesy. Hello? In fact, there will be times that God will speak to you or people will come up to you and they say, hey, you got a word for me? And it'll be, no. Was it you that asked me?
Yeah.
Todd.
McCobie.
I'm sorry?
McCobie.
Close. Anyway, he came up to me and he said, I'd like for you to prophesy to me. Okay, later. Why? God didn't give me anything for him. Mm-hmm. He came up to me again. Later. It wasn't, maybe you should put a phone in front of me. I don't know. but I had nothing. And then later on, I'm praying. I'm God. And then I walk by and here he is standing there with Mark Sharona. And Mark Sharona says, I'm sorry, I don't have, isn't that right? He says, I don't have a word for you. And I thought, me either. So I thought, well, maybe night came, they left.
We were dicks.
They were there. And you won't always prophesy. Sometimes you won't have anything. And we've got to understand this real quick, okay? Oh God, help me. There are three realms, four realms actually, of prophecy. Okay? There's a true word, there's a false word. Okay, there's a true word, there's a false word. There's a word that comes out of your heart. In fact, this is, I think, on page one of those notes there. There's a true word, a false word, and then there's a word that comes out of your heart. It just, you see somebody that is struggling, and you just want to walk up to them and say, you know, I just want you to know I'm praying for you, and I just want to encourage you. That's neither a prophetic word, okay? It's just a word that's coming out of your heart because you just want to see that person, want to bless that person, want to encourage that person. And then there's what I call a misinterpreted word. A misinterpreted word. That's where you have a word of God or a dream or a vision and you misinterpret it. It's a true word, but you misinterpreted the word. And then all of a sudden something happens. Oh, that's what that word meant, you know. And you thought it meant something else. And God begins to move into your spirit and in your life. And you begin to have all these different things begin to happen. All right. So, encouraged to prophesy. And I can give you a number of scriptures on that. Then there's some requirements. If you want to prophesy, you want to give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, there's certain requirements. And by the way, that's on page 6 of your notes there. You got to desire it. I was raised in a Nazarene church. And prophecy in the Nazarene church was inspired preaching. That's what prophecy was. Inspired preaching. Wasn't any prophecy, okay, per se, like what we would term prophecy. Just inspired preaching. And then all of a sudden we got involved in a church or visited a church, and I saw guys prophesying some things, and I knew, and I went, whoa! I said, God, I want that. You got to desire it. If you don't desire to prophesy, you don't desire to have word of wisdom, word not. Guess what? You won't. You got to desire it. You've got to look for opportunities. Opportunities. It's like a man. Went on a far journey. He gave authority to his servants. Are you one of his servants? Gave authority to his servants and a job to do and an overseer to watch over it. Amen. You've got to look for opportunities. You've got to look around. What is needed? What is needed? What is going on? What is God doing? God opened my eyes to see. Look for opportunities. Start small. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. You start small. Don't try to prophesy about the nations. Okay? Well, I want to start prophesying, so thus saith the Lord, the United States has got... No, don't go doing that. Okay? Start small. Look for small things. Look for those. And I can give you a number of scriptures on that. Then let someone else speak. Well, in other words, you begin to have confirmation. All right? Confirmation. I told you about the Daniel Portier in France. And as I was speaking and telling him what God was showing me, relating to him the vision that he had just had, I saw a tear begin to come and so on. And he sat there and there was some confirmation. And then he turned around and he said, this is exactly, that's how I knew about the vision he had, because this is exactly what God has spoken to me. And he said, yesterday morning, I announced to the church that this is what we were going to begin to do. We were changing some directions and starting a new ministry. And he says, we were so sure about this. He said, my wife was going in on that day, that Monday, to her job to give 2-week notice to be a part of what was going on. And I was bringing confirmation to him because he was taking a big step. He really was. Okay? So confirmation. Then learn as you go. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Hello?
That's right.
Don't be afraid to make a mistake. you'll learn. I have learned from some of my mistakes a lot more than I did from the successes. Okay? Learn from your mistakes. And don't copy others. Be yourself. God didn't call you to be Mark Sharona.
Amen.
He's got a Mark Sharona. He didn't call you to be Grant Workman, or he didn't call you to be me. He called you to be you.
That's right.
Be yourself. All right? And, very important, concentrate on content. Content is very, very important. It really is. Content first, style second. In other words, how you speak, okay? Content. Because content is what God is saying. How you say it is you.
Right.
All right? Amen. And I'm going to just quit there. It's interesting to me. Years ago, you know Steve and Sally. And some of you were down in Springfield at Day Spring. You know who Steve and Sally Wilson are. Well, when he was starting his church and all that, he began to... He opened the door for us. We became part of the ministry with him. I mean, we're a separate church. But I began to work with him periodically. And he asked me to come over to teach on prophecy, which I taught basically on these notes. And but before I went over there, he made the statement to his people, you don't have to use King James English. And that's what Kim Moss said. Down in, you know, and when she said that, I turned and looked at Steve. And he told me later he did everything he could to keep from looking over at me. Why? Because I went in there and I grew up with King James Bible and King James English, and everything I prophesied was more in the King, because that was what I was familiar with.
Yeah.
God's been changing that a lot over the years, but you don't have to use King James English. Use your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use your own.
That's
word,
good.
Okay? It's like Nancy said, that I believe his name is David Holton, was speaking. And he said, the kingdom of God is coming full throttle. Okay? He used his own language. Get the point across. That's what's important. Okay? Now, one more thing real quick. And then we're going to have some personal ministry. I'm not going to turn to it, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, is a story of the sons of the prophets. They speak to Elisha, and they say to him, they say, behold, the place where we dwell the place where we are dwelling is too straight and too small for us. And they say to him, let's go and cut down some trees, and we're going to build anew. And Elisha says, go, and so on. But when I read verse 1 there, where it says, the place where you dwell is too small, God began to speak to my heart about 2016. And he said this, the year 2016 will be a year of both increase and decrease. There will be an increase of people coming into the church and a decrease as the Lord sends others out to work in their callings. And I got thinking, that's kind of what happened to you guys. You guys got sent out. Well, you're going to see some of that take place, even in your own church here. The main increase, and this is what you really need to pay attention to, the main increase will come as each one leaves behind those things that have been holding them back, those things that have been constraining them, the restraints that have been on your life. As the sons of the prophets said, the place where we dwell is too straight or too small for them, so there are some who are realizing that the realm of the spirit they are living in is too small for them.
Wow. That's good.
Some of you are realizing that the place in the spirit realm, that where you're living, the ministry that you have, is just too small, it's too straight, it's too restricting. And there's a cry. As they cry out for increase, they will find a decrease in some areas of life, yet an increase in boldness, effectiveness, and opportunities to bring forth life in others. As Elisha made the iron head to float, so there will be miracles, signs, and wonders as you work to build in a new place, a greater realm of the Spirit. It is a matter of decision for each one to either find increase or remain in the place they are presently in. And as you read that story, you find that the young man, he is cutting down this tree, and the axe head falls into the water. And he says to Elisha, he says, "Oh, master, the axe head is off, and it's borrowed." Where was the person that owned the axe? Remain in the same place they are presently in. I call you today to make a decision as John did when he declared that Jesus must increase, but he must decrease. And that's the word of the Lord that he gave me for 2016, and he's given for you and me. And brothers and sisters, God has a call on your life. And I agree with Nancy, this place is going to be, in fact, she doesn't know, but last night, Grant and I came here to turn on the furnace and all that and the heat. And he was telling me about how you have a vision to tear down this wall and to expand. And I can see that. But I can see more than that. Perhaps not this year, but I can see an expansion of the things of God that he wants to do in this place, that if you are willing, give of yourself to him, he will use you individually and corporately to begin to bring forth new souls, new lives, and incorporate them and minister into them and help them to become what God's called them to be. Now, Nancy made the comment that God has, that there is going to be an impartation this morning. And I really believe that with all of my heart. Because what I feel like God wants to do is he wants you to understand that as there is one of, let me just change that. Let me put it this way. One of the jobs, I'll put it in that term. One of the jobs, one of the benefits that I have is God has many times given me the ability to impart into people things, even things that I myself don't have. But begin to impart them, because as a prophetic voice, I've been able to impart things, call things out into people's lives, and then they begin to walk in the land. I leave the place, I go, and I come back a year, 2 years later, and find that they're beginning to move in that gift and that calling. And I just want you to know, as we were worshiping the Lord, God spoke to me that there's a few people here that are struggling with their gift. They're struggling with their calling. They're struggling with what God has called them to do and to be. They're struggling with their relationship with him. And he wants you to know, number one, he loves you. He loves you with all, I mean, he loves you abundantly. Amen? Sarah, I started to say, it must be 12 o'clock.
No.
But he loves you. And he has something in store for each and every one of you.